Welcome to day 212 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are reading from the book of Isaiah, chapters 59 through 63, and we are reading this week from the New American Standard Bible. So beginning at Isaiah 59, starting at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed a snake breaks forth. Their webs will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and an act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. Therefore justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter it. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. According to their deeds, so he will repay. Wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the coastlands he will make recompense, so they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. A redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit, which is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. Chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about you and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense, and will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth will minister to you. They will go up with acceptance on my altar, and I shall glorify my glorious house. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like the doves to their lattices? Surely the coastlands will wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Foreigners will build up your walls, and their kings will minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, and in my favor I have had compassion on you. Your gates will be open continually. They will not be closed day or night, so that men may bring to you the wealth of the nations, with their kings led in procession. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish, and the nations will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the juniper, the box tree, and the cypress together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I shall make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you will come bowing to you, and all those who despised you will bow themselves at the soles of your feet. And they will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated with no one passing through, I will make you an everlasting pride, a joy from generation to generation. You will also suck the milk of nations and suck the breast of kings. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold, and instead of iron, I will bring silver, and instead of wood, bronze, and instead of stones, iron. And I will make peace your administrators, and righteousness your overseers. Violence will not be heard again in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation, and your gates praise. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light. And the days of your mourning will be over. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, and the least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. But you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering, and I will faithfully give them their recompense and make an everlasting covenant with them. Then their offspring will be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them will recognize them, because they are the offspring whom the Lord has blessed. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. Chapter 62. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not keep quiet, until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation is like a torch that is burning. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said to you, forsaken, nor to your land will it any longer be said, desolate. And you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his strong arm, I will never again give your grain as food for your enemies, nor will foreigners drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates, clear the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up a standard over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Chapter 63. Who is this who comes from Edom with garments of glowing colors from Bozrah? This one who is majestic in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. It is I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red, and your garments like the one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the wine trough alone, and from the peoples there was no man with me. I also trod them in my anger, and trampled them in my wrath, and their lifeblood is sprinkled on my garments, and I stained all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption has come. I looked, and there was no one to help, and I was astonished, and there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought salvation to me, and my wrath upheld me. I trod down the peoples in my anger and made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. I shall make mention of the loving kindnesses of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has granted them, according to his compassion and according to the abundance of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, sons who will not deal falsely. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his mercy he redeemed them, and he lifted them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned himself to become their enemy. He fought against them. Then his people remembered the days of old, of Moses. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name? Who led them through the depths? Like the horse in the wilderness, they did not stumble. As the cattle which go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and see from your holy and glorious habitation. Where are your zeal and your mighty deeds? The stirrings of your heart and your compassion are restrained toward me. For you are our Father, though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not recognize us. You, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. Why, O Lord, do you cause us to stray from your ways and harden our heart from fearing you? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Your holy people possessed your sanctuary for a little while. Our adversaries have trodden it down. We have become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those who were not called by your name. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses. And it's the precious and beautiful passage that says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Now, this is absolutely beautiful and poetic words, but it is more than just poetry or beautiful writing. These words were quoted by Jesus in Luke chapter 4, where he was in the temple and he was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah to read in the temple. And so he did that by opening it to the place where he found Isaiah 61 written. And he began to say those words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And he sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then it says, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So Jesus announced that day in the synagogue that the words that were written by Isaiah the prophet more than 700 years before the birth of Christ were fulfilled that day, with Jesus going into the synagogue, reading that scripture from the scroll, the Torah, and announcing to everyone present that God had done exactly what Isaiah had proclaimed or prophesied. Isaiah, as we just heard, had prophesied these words that were going to be spoken by the Messiah. So this was another messianic prophecy that was given here. He was literally speaking out what the Messiah would say or announce about himself. So when Jesus walked into that synagogue that day and was handed that scroll to read, and he read those priceless words from the prophet Isaiah, and then he announced that it had come to pass that day, that the Spirit of God was on him, that he had been given the assignment and been anointed for the task of bringing good news to the poor, and that he had been sent to bind up the brokenhearted, the people were astonished, and then they were angry. And that story, which we'll hear later on as we get into the Gospels, actually caused the people to become angry because he was essentially announcing that he was the fulfillment. He was the Messiah. It says in Luke 4:28, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked through the crowd and went his way. And the point is this, that Jesus was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophetic words. Jesus came to bring good news. The word gospel actually means good news. So what is the good news? The good news, or the gospel, is that Jesus came to set people free, to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, spiritually and physically, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn, to give them the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. You know, we live in a generation where oppression in people's lives is so very tangible. We can see oppression on people's faces. You can see people who have a spirit of heaviness on them, and you don't have to be a spiritual giant to discern that. You can see somebody in your workplace that looks depressed, or a classmate that you attend school with who looks like they're always in mourning. And you know that God has an answer, and he does. He sent Jesus to the earth so that oppression could be broken off of people's lives, that brokenheartedness could be healed. You know, in our generation, we see broken hearts all around us. People who have gone through divorces often have experienced such brokenness, such heartbreak, such sense of rejection, oftentimes betrayal, such heaviness on their lives, such emotional brokenness that we see around us. And yet God sent Jesus to the earth to bind up the brokenhearted. You know, there is no wound that's so deep that God cannot heal it. There is no wound, emotional or otherwise, that Jesus cannot heal. You know, I have met people who have been through traumatic experiences, heartbreaking experiences, who say, I can never get over this. But the truth is, Jesus is able to help any person who desires and is willing to believe him, that he can heal brokenness, brokenheartedness, oppression of heart in any situation. He can give a garland instead of ashes. He can give the oil of gladness and remove a spirit of grief if you've had loss in your life, whether it's the loss of a loved one, the loss of a relationship, a death in your family, a death of a child. God is able to do what is humanly impossible. With man, it's impossible to get over traumatic experiences, horrific traumas or heartbreaks or losses. And yet God sent Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted, not just in eternity in heaven, but here on the earth. The Lord sent Jesus to the earth to bind up the brokenhearted. There is healing available if you have a wound in your heart. Just turn to the Lord. Take this scripture, because the word says that God anointed him. It means that he empowered him. He gave him an authority and an ability and an anointing to bring healing to brokenhearted people. Is there an area of your heart that's been broken, that's been crushed, that's been wounded, and you've just kind of packed that away, try to make it a forgotten subject, tried not to go there in your mind or in your emotions, just tried to push it to the back of your emotional life and tried to move forward, but without receiving any healing? God wants to do better for you than that. He wants to bring you this good news that he sent Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted, and you are a candidate. God wants to touch your heart. You know, Jesus can touch a heart and pour the balm of Gilead on that hurt place, on that wound, and bring a healing that you can't even imagine. When you've experienced trauma or loss or grief or heartbreak, you cannot imagine from the place that you're in of hurt that the hurt can ever be removed. You may even think it will never leave you the rest of your life. But the truth is, if you continue to believe that, it will never go away. But if you can believe Jesus, if you can look to Jesus, who God has anointed, he can put his hand on that place in your heart and bring healing and bring peace and restore gladness where there's been mourning and grief. He can give you a mantle or a garment of praise instead of that spirit of heaviness. God wants to do that for you today. I want to encourage you. Go back to this scripture in Isaiah 61, first three verses, and read that over and over. Let your mind begin to take it in. Let your spirit begin to soak in the truth that God's the healer of the brokenhearted. He's the one that gives liberty or freedom to people who've been in captivity. And if you are bound with the spirit of grief over loss of a loved one from, it could be years ago, Jesus is able to take the key of freedom and unlock the chains that have held you bound to that spirit of grief. He doesn't want you to live under a spirit of grief or under a spirit of heaviness or under a spirit of mourning. Yes, it is possible to be free of that thing. It doesn't mean that you're going to be unfaithful to the memory of the person you lost. The person you lost would not want you grieving for years over their passing away. If you ask them, they would never want you to be spending your life under a spirit or cloud of grief or mourning or heaviness. They would want you to live your life with freedom and joy. That would be their desire for you. So you won't be disloyal to their memory by allowing God to heal your broken heart. You will be receiving from the Lord something he wants to give you, and that is a spirit of praise and a spirit of joy instead of that spirit of grief and mourning. Let the Lord touch you today. Jesus was sent to the earth for this purpose. If you believe that He came to this earth for you, then you need to believe that He came to bind up any brokenness in your life. He also came to set the captive free from sin and restore our relationship with God so that we can live in eternity with Him. But He also came to do something for you while you live on this earth. You don't have to wait for heaven to be healed of brokenheartedness. God wants to do that for you today. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father God, as you hear these words I'm lifting up to you, and you see this beloved one of yours who has been enduring under a spirit of heaviness and grief and brokenheartedness, and even when they think about the hurt they've been through, a tear comes to their eye. Lord, I pray this day that you would break off that spirit of heaviness, that spirit of grief, the spirit of torment that has tried to keep that hurt so present, tense, and made it so real every day. I ask you to remove the thorn that's in their emotions. Take that thing out. I pray, God, that you would pour upon them this balm of Gilead, where it brings healing to that wounded place and makes it whole and new again. And Lord, that you would give them a garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness so they can feel joy again. Thank you, Lord, that you did come to the earth anointed for this purpose. And thank you for doing this in the life of the one who's hearing this right now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and give you a victorious and a joy-filled week.